There were two news stories which caught my eye coming out of Florida last year around this time. One was a minor story about a young girl who was a senior at a high school named Leon High School in Florida. And the school, which boasts one of the nation's top tumbling cheerleading squads in the country, the young girl in question tried out for the team, but unfortunately, she fell twice during her tryouts, and she didn't make the cut. She was rejected. This was a sad day for the parents. What made things even more upsetting, much worse than not simply getting on the team, was that the parents of the aspiring cheerleader decided to consult an attorney and sue the high school for not letting their daughter on the onto the team. The threat of litigation was enough for the school to order a review of the decision rendered by the cheerleading judges. And it's laughable, it's embarrassing that this sort of thing is commonplace in our world. But contrast this story with a different story that happened with another set of parents in Florida from around that time. Melissa and Matt Graves, the parents of the ill-fated Lane, 2-year-old, a toddler who we recall was playing by a pond in Disney World last year when an alligator attacked and killed him. The Nebraska family announced sometime afterwards that they were not going to sue Disney for the tragedy. And in a heartbreaking speech, the father said, "We will forever struggle to comprehend why this happened to our sweet baby. As each day passes, the pain gets worse." But instead of pursuing legal recourse, they set up a charity in their son's memory. And he added that in addition to the foundation, we will solely be focused on the future health of our family and will not be pursuing a lawsuit against Disney. It is mind-boggling to me that human beings exist on such extreme ends of the spectrum. Smallness, pettiness on the one hand, and largeness and generosity on the other. How do we channel that mida? How do we become lo aleinu in that situation, but like the second set of parents and not like the first? We live in a very litigious society. Everything is about a lawsuit, about winning and causing others to crumble with no room of impunity. How can we learn to lower our fists to stop the fight? The verse tells us, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen heshiv et chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanot kinati b'tocham v'lo chiliti et b'nei Yisrael b'kinati. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. What's the meaning of this expression, heshiv es chamasi? What does it mean to turn the wrath of God away from the Jewish people? How does one accomplish this? How do you stop someone from being angry? How do you stop God in the middle of his anger? There's an entire chapter in Tehillim which deals with a number of more dramatic moments of Sefer Bamidbar, from Korach to Pinchas, in which the expression, heshiv es chamato, is repeated. It says in Tehillim, Lulei Moshe Bechiro Amad Beperetz Lefanav Lashiv Chamato Ma'ashchit. Had not Moshe, his chosen one, stood before God in the breach to turn back his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Only here, it's not Pinchas, who was Heshiv Es Chamaso, who stopped Hashem from being angry, but rather it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the peculiar expression, Heshiv Es Chamasi, causing God to withhold his wrath, appears in Tehillim and appears here in our parsha. A few verses later, in the very Kapitel Tehillim we quoted, Pinchas is mentioned again by name. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel vateatsar hamagefa vatechashev lo litztaka ledor vador arulam. Pinchas stood up and he wrought judgment, and so the plague was stopped. And it was counted to him as an act of righteousness for all generations forever. What does the phrase vayamod Pinchas vayipalel connote? How do we translate vayipalel? Says the Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Memdalel Amud Aleph. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel vateatsar magefa. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Vayispalel lo ne'amar. It didn't say he davened. Ela vayipalel. Melamed she'asa plilos imkono. It means that Pinchas intervened, that he quelled God's wrath against the Jewish children. That's the meaning of Heshiv Es Chamasi, that he caused the fire and the rage of God to be diminished, to be reduced, to be vanquished. Moshe Rabbeinu is also someone who intercedes on behalf of the Bnei Israel, and thereby he restores HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet HaEgel back to a state of calm and serenity time and time again. What exactly was restored? The Torah tells us, Heshiv Es Chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael be'kano es kinasi. Pinchas has the ability to calm people's anger and God's anger before it becomes caustic, to put out the flames before they destroy. It is for this reason, according to Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that he is granted the covenant of peace and the covenant of priesthood, whose greatest trait was bringing peace among the ranks of Bnei Yisrael. We're now in the first three Shabbatot, referred to as the Gimel de Paranusa, the three Haftaros leading up to the Tisha B'Av and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The second bias was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. What's Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is the fight you don't have to have. It's the fight you didn't have to have. It's the anger you created without justification, without cause. It's what could have been avoided. It's the anger that could have been quelled. How does Pinchas mitigate the Chemas Hashem? How does he calm the anger of God? Pinchas takes up a righteous cause, and so he prevents unnecessary wrath. He champions God's values so that God doesn't have to do so himself. The job of a leader is to give voice to anger when appropriate, so that the others who are angry don't have to be angry. When we channel appropriate outrage for others, we bring calm into the world. Let me give you an illustration. Say there's someone who's been cheated out in life, or at least they feel they've been. They feel they've been cheated in some way, that life has been unduly harsh upon them. They might be short on cash flow. Maybe their relationships are, God forbid, in shambles. Whatever the issue may be, if left to fester, the anger will consume them. They will lash out against the world eventually. But if you could divert their anger, if you could give voice to their chaos, it provides them with an outlet. It tells them that someone is listening, that someone cares, that someone else has named the source of their pain. Lending an ear, serving as a baal palilos itself, provides a resolution. In a recent study conducted by the Customer Experience Impact Report in 2010, they discussed and studied why it was that customers were dissatisfied with certain businesses, to understand their customer base and to understand how they could respond better to dissatisfaction. One of the major findings was that a large number of customers are looking for an opportunity to voice complaints. And when robbed of that opportunity, when they feel no one's listening, they go elsewhere. In other words, rage and anger is a natural phenomenon. It's not about putting out fires. It needs to be embraced. It needs to be understood, and then it needs to be transmuted. The company, to be successful, has to give voice to the anger so that people can feel that they're being listened to. People want responses to their grievances. They don't want solutions. They want empathy, not results. According to the research, lending a voice is far more crucial to people than is the actual quality of service, the price, the competition, or any other mitigating factor in the world. I asked earlier a very clear question. I said, how can we learn to lower our fists? How do we put out the fight? How do we stop the fire? The truth is that we cannot do so easily. It's nearly impossible to defuse an emotional bomb. Resentment and pain remain in people's hearts for a very long time. Anthony Wolfe once said, professor and psychologist, it is in the best relationships there remain serious pockets of unresolved bitterness. And so what recourse do we have? After all, anger and strong emotions need resolution, and they don't go away. Either conciliation from the other party, conquest of the opposition. But in the absence of that, there's a third option: allowing the pain to be channeled and allowing it to be articulated. Doing so enables the pill to become a lot less bitter. And that's the difference between the cheerleader's parents and the parents of Lane Graves of blessed memory. We have to give voice to true rage. We have to extinguish the flames of madness unfounded on anything of substance, and sometimes on substance itself. If someone stops coming to your shul, if someone's not learning with you anymore in your shir, your chavrusa, if someone no longer comes to your house as a guest, stops calling, the absolute worst thing we could ever do is to ignore it. We think if someone's upset, all we have to do is to remain quiet and the rage will just disappear. It'll be quieted eventually. The flames will be extinguished. Quite the contrary. By listening and allowing people to voice their problems, we are kano es kinaso shel chavero. We are taking up the jealousy, the anger of our friend. We're eliminating their pain. on a deeper level, this is what our avoda is during this time period. We ask Eicha, how could it be? How could this happen? How could the temple be destroyed? How can all the pogroms and all the misery that afflicted the Jewish people throughout history occur? Even to ask the question, where was God during our most trying times? Rav Soloveitchik felt that the special heter to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask God, how could it be? That enables us to stop the rage and anger. It calms the storm, and it puts the flames of heresy and malcontent out. The recent passage of Elie Wiesel, a man who is considered the most well-known and prolific Holocaust survivor, I think we've been given an opportunity to reflect upon his career and accomplishments. And in my mind, one true chiddush that he brought to the world was that it was all right to ask why. That's all right to question and complain. And so long as the goal was to bring the world back to a place of calm and serenity afterwards, we can ask questions. It's no wonder that Yirmiyahu is the voice of Churban Bayis. He's the voice that we read on Tisha B'Av. We don't read from the Nevuah of Yeshayahu provides us soothing and comforting words. We read from the Prophet of Doom, because Yirmiyahu gives voice to pain and rage. He tells us that it's all right to listen, to grieve, and to voice it. And therefore, he's the one who can be Meshiv the Chamato Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who can calm God down. And if we are Mis'ava on Yushalayim, if we mourn Jerusalem, Chazal tells us that we are promised to see it rebuilt, because God just wants to know that we care enough to notice that it was gone. I wonder how many Pinchases there really are in the world. How many of us care enough to voice the outrage, to cry foul, to hope for, long for something more, to long for the Beis HaMikdash, to notice that it's even missing. If we only had a few more people like Pinchas, people who just listen and calm and voice the frustration, then maybe its reconstruction would come that much sooner. May we all be Zochah.